Welcome. I hope you're well. It's great that we could be here together and just spend this time together. And I want to encourage you today. I want to tell you that God is pleased with you. He's so pleased to see you. Well done. He says, I love being with my church. I love you being with me. I love us having time together. God loves participating in our lives. So I want you to grab your Bible this morning, and we're going to jump straight in. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 1. And that's a titchy little book, and the best way to find it is to go to Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, and then just flip back a few pages. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 4. A couple of quick questions beforehand. Hands up if you left school with a qualification in English. Okay, yeah, that's great. I see. I reckon there's a few hands going up there. Well done. Well done. Hands up if you left school with a qualification in a foreign language. Okay, perhaps not as many hands, but I reckon there's still a few hands going up probably. Well done. Well done. And hands up if you're watching this and English is not your first language. Wow, there's not as many hands, but I reckon there's still one or two going up. There could well be one or two going up. And I just think, well, you guys are amazing, because to understand the English language and to be able to communicate in it when it's not your native tongue, I think, well, well done. Well done, you guys. So we're going to jump straight in. You'll see why that is sort of slightly related as we go through this. I hope you found 1 John chapter 1. I'm hoping also the words will come up on the screen here. And could we read this together? Could you just join with me and we'll just read it out loud together? It's not very long. Okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Well done. Thank you if you read that out with me. We've been doing a series in our church recently entitled Let Hope Arise, and then we've looked at different aspects of hope each week. And this week, the title I've given this is Hope is Active. So what is hope? I know there's all sorts of answers you can give to that, but it actually, if you look in a dictionary and you look up hope, it says hope is a noun, okay? So it's a thing or an object or an expression or even an emotion perhaps. But hope can also be a verb. So it can be a doing word. So if you're hoping, then it's active and it becomes a doing word. Okay, so you'll see why that becomes relative, I hope. So what I've done is I'm going to go back through that passage that we've just read, and I'm going to be looking at some of the verbs that are in that passage, and you'll see it should come up, and you'll see I've highlighted what I consider to be verbs in that passage. So these are doing words, and sometimes there are two doing words placed together. Now, I know you can have a bit of a debate, actually, whether some of these are a verb or a noun. But hey, be kind to me. I'm not a literary expert by any stretch of the imagination. But just go with this theme, and hopefully you'll get the point as we go through this. So, hands up, all of you that are homeschooling at the moment. Hey. One or two hands going up there. You'll be brilliant at this, because I'm sure you'll have brushed up on all of this sort of stuff. And you'll know this, you'll know this sort of stuff inside out. So the next question is, hands up if you know the difference between an active verb and a passive verb. That's made it one or two people think a little bit, hasn't it? You probably all know, but one or two people are thinking. Made me think when I thought about it. Well, I looked this up on the internet, so again, it must be right. It's a definition, okay? A verb when it's active. The subject of the verb is doing the action. So I just think of that as it's a doing word that is currently doing something. Is currently doing something. And then a passive verb is when the subject undergoes the action rather than doing it. That's often, it's undergone the action. It's often written in the past tense. So what I intend to do today is I'm going to just explore that passage we just read. And I'm going to just look at some of the words that are in there, and I'm going to use the verbs to expand that a little bit. And so I'm going to quickly go through this passage, so pay attention, face the front, and yes, there will be some homework at the end. So let's kick off. Let's start with verse 1. He says, right, verse 1. It starts off, doesn't it? It says, that which was from the beginning. This book is written by John. This is John the disciple. So John also wrote the Gospel of John. And if you just flip back in your Bible to the Gospel of John, and you look at the first verse of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning, there's that word again, you see, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you jump down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. So he started off by referencing the beginning. So that means he's actually making a reference to God. And he's particularly pulling out the point of reference of his Son being the Word. Okay, now if you want to take that even further, you can go back to the start of Genesis, and Genesis verse 1 and 2, and it says, in the beginning, again, it's from the start of time, as we understand it, there was God. And if you read into verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. So it's actually pulling out there the aspect of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So whichever way you look at this, John is referring to the beginning, and he's acknowledging God as the Trinity. So it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as we go through this passage, you'll see it particularly pulls out the relationship with the Word, which means the Word became flesh. He's talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Okay. So then we look at that first verse. From the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked at, and our hands we have touched, and our hands have touched this. These are all passive verbs, aren't they? These are all things that he's experienced. Now remember, this is a disciple talking, okay? This is a disciple talking. Do you remember quite recently we did a little study on the Gospel of Mark? And in there were a couple of things that I recall thinking about this. It was Peter, James and John that seemed to often be often a bit of an adventure, shall we say, with Jesus. They were there at the Transfiguration up on the mountain. They were there when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. There may be others as well, but they were the two that I recalled. So what I'm saying is that this is written by a disciple that's had real experience of life with Jesus. And you know, it's really difficult to argue with someone's experience. You can argue with someone's theory, but it's actually very difficult to argue with someone's experience. You know, whether or not you like that experience or not, it's at the end of the day, it's true because they've had the experience, and they, you know, it's very difficult to argue with it. So he's starting by saying, we have heard, we have seen we have looked and we have touched. And he goes on, doesn't he, to say, we proclaim, which is an active verb, it's a doing verb. We proclaim. So he's taken his experience and he's delivering it now in an active way. If you like, he's taken his knowledge and he's putting it into practice. And the subject of all this is the word. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Remember that it was the word, that which became flesh and lived among us. So he's talking about God in human form. In other words, he's talking about Jesus Christ, or God incarnate, if you want to put some fancy words about it. And if you go on and look at verse 2, it says the life appeared. That's a passive verb. It happened, so it's true. Jesus appeared. In some versions of the Bible, it says Jesus was manifest. In other words, Jesus was made known. So what did he make known when he came? Well, Jesus expressed God's kingdom and he expressed God's culture. And this truth was emphasised, really. There was one or two verses that came to my mind where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. And actually later on in this book, 1 John 5 verse 11, John's actually written down, eternal life is in his Son. See, Jesus demonstrated and emphasised this truth when he was here amongst us, when he walked the earth. So it says, the life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. So he's prepared. In the sense that word testify means he's giving evidence, he's making it active, he's making it true. He reiterates this as we continue with that, he reiterates it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Again, he's using that word proclaim, so he's vocalising it, or in this case he's actually writing it down. But he's putting it into action. The truth becomes active again. It doesn't remain as a historical thing. He's bringing it about into reality now. He's proclaiming it. Look at verse 3. Now in here, you know, there may be some words here that you want to debate as to whether they're nouns or whether they're verbs. You know, is fellowship a noun? Well, it is, strictly speaking, a noun. But when you put it into practice and it becomes fellowshipping, then it becomes active, so it becomes a verb. But hopefully, you know, you'll get the gist of this. And the word is, I think, is an active expression of the verb be, or to verb to be. So I want us to see the active part of these phrases. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may fellowship with us. That's really important, that you may fellowship with us. Fellowship means I think I can describe it really as a friendship, an association, a participation with others. And when we look at it in a biblical sense, I think there's a real deepness about that word. There's a deepness about the active nature of this. And it, as Christians, we actually have a common ground here, because you tend to associate and participate in the lives of others where you have a common ground. Well, as Christians, we have a common ground in our faith in Jesus Christ, and it is the outworking of God in our lives that is the active bit of that. And it's amazing, isn't it? I'm sure many of you have experienced this, but you can have fellowship with people of different ages, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different ways of thinking. You can have fellowship even with different denominations. Hands up if you've missed seeing each other during this sort of lockdown period, okay? You talk to people, and what they've missed most of all is actually just seeing other people and having fellowship. And And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that we can enjoy fellowship. And that's what he's proclaiming. That's what he's encouraging. And it's been a challenge, hasn't it, in these current circumstances, to actually have fellowship, because it's been so limited, it's been restricted. And there's been times in my life where, usually through circumstances or sickness, and we've not been able to participate in a way we would have liked in the life of the church. And so we've, in a sense, we've missed out on that fellowship, and we've missed it. And that's why I said that God is actually really encouraged to see you, because he wants to have fellowship. And what he's saying here is that he's saying that you can have fellowship with us, that's fellowship with one another. But it gets even better, because as it goes on, he says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So our fellowship, that word our, it's very collective. And when he was writing it then, it meant obviously John and the people that were with him when he wrote it, the people that read the letter. And it also means God the Father and Jesus Christ, the way that he's written it. So for us now, that means you and me and God the Father and Jesus Christ. It's a very active expression. It means God wants to participate. He wants us to participate in all that he has. He wants us to participate in his kingdom. He wants us to participate in his life, in his presence, in his love, in his light. And I'm sure you can think of many other things that in his salvation that he would want us to participate fully in. But it gets even better, because not only does he want us to participate in all that he has, he actually wants to participate in our lives. So it's two-way. He wants us to participate with him, but he really wants to engage and participate with our lives, in our circumstances, yes, in our difficulties, in our lockdown situations. See, it's a very active thing, fellowship. And then we have that final verse, verse 4. It says, we write this to make our joy complete. Can you get the active nature of this phrase? We write this, or he's communicating this. It's something that he's doing. It's a bit like proclaiming it. To make, again, it's very active, to make our joy complete. Whose joy? Our joy. That's your joy, my joy. That's our joy. And it is God's joy. It is God's joy. And not only does it give him joy and it gives us joy, but it gives him and it gives us complete joy. Now, complete joy, I reckon, is better than just joy. So hands up if you get the point that the active nature of a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, hope is active. I know you say, well, actually, hope hasn't been mentioned in this passage. I know, but the relationship with Jesus Christ has. And when we started, we looked at that, didn't we? Jesus Christ, as the Word, is always with God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. So it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is the outworking and the outliving, or the proclaiming of that relationship, that is important. And that's what is so active, or needs to be active. You've probably heard the phrase Jesus, the hope of the nations. It's in many songs. I think it's been taken, I assume it's been taken from the verse, in his name the nations will put their hope. That's from Matthew chapter 12, verse 21. Some versions have it in his name, the Gentiles will put their hope, but it's meant to convey the nations. Hope is not passive. Hope is active. I found this it's interesting verse in 2 John, so it's just a few pages on. in 2 John verse 12. It says, I've much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that your joy may be complete. I know it's limited right now what we can do face to face, but you know, I just sense as I read that, I sense that actually God's word for us was that he wants to meet with you. He wants us not to, in a sense, it's easy to become lazy about our fellowship at this time. But no, be active about our fellowship. Be creative about ways you can fellowship with each other. But the point is, you can fellowship with Jesus Christ. There is no social distancing required with Jesus. Jesus is accessible, and you can participate in a relationship with him. Furthermore, it actually will bring him joy and you joy. Why don't you just have a conversation with him about that? Now, I know you might sit there and think, yeah, but life's not all joy. I know not, life is not all joy. Talk to this disciple that wrote this. He would know that life's not all joy. He's been part of a church that's been persecuted, extremely persecuted, in a way that we never experience. I read somewhere the other day, in actual fact, that he was the only disciple to die of old age because all the others were martyred for their faith. So he knows that life is not full of joy, but what he is saying is to have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus that is active, brings joy. There's joy in that relationship. And dare I say, there's a danger that some of us have become inactive, we've become passive. And I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you to change that, to really to put some effort into that. Because it's when you do that, that you'll bring joy to the Father, to the Son, and you'll experience joy yourself. Now, I said that there would be some homework, didn't I? And the homework this week then is to find at least 5 verses in the Bible that mention the word joy. Okay, so there's different ways you can do that. You can read the Bible from end to end and highlight every verse if you want to do that. Or you can go online. There's various study guides you can research that on. Or you can just simply put it in Google, where can I find joy in the Bible? What verses have got joy in the Bible? Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, which I like, is you get a concordance out and you look up the word joy. You see, this is a bit of an active part for you to play. This is where you have to put a bit of effort into it, and I want to encourage you to do that. And when you've got the verses, write them down, perhaps read them, perhaps stick them on the fridge. Maybe ponder over one each day this week. And you know what I would really like to do? Is I'd like to video some of us reading out these verses. So you could read out a verse that mentions joy. I'd love it, you know, I'll come to your front door and I'll video you reading out a verse expressing joy in the Bible. And in fact, it would be great, actually, if you made contact with me and said, yeah, I'd like to do that. I might even check up on you and ring one or two of you up. But I think it would be great to put all those together. We'll put it in a video and we'll talk to our techie guys and see if somehow they can amalgamate that. And we could put that out in one of our virtual churches, because I think it's encouraging for each other. It's encouraging for us. And I would love us to do that. So I hope you find that helpful, and I want you to realise and put into practice the fact that hope is not passive, but hope is active. Amen.